go ahead, pop off. Me and my clique put on. I'm like a young McMahon, I'm here to get your bitch off. Like I'm Ric Flair, little finger to the big boss. Man, aka police, cause I'm over your head like hit toss. Kill these niggas, that's no problem. Chill, these niggas want no problem. That chopper body like Hornswoggle, can't see you shot him like Sin Cara. Roll it up, but that shit loud. It ain't mine if that shit not. Ladies hate when I rip through, but they in love with this Jake Bob. It's like, nah, say hello to my python. I'm CM Punk with that mic, y'all. She go to sleep cause my pipe bomb. Winning, plus I be hurting feelings. Niggas is Curtis Axe, so my rap is like Kirk Henning. And it, don't it? I'm such a charmer. Come crown Vic. Not talking whip, I'm thinking Lawler. Cause I'm royalty. But we talking cars, she not a problem. Just bought two big bodies, call them Kamala and Umaga. What up? You're talking to the back guy. My gang real, but I ain't never been no vampire. Look at all that ice he got on. Bigger than that icy title. Picking out my pill, man, cause I still feel like I'm flying Brian. Who high as I am? Who fly as I am? Life is a bitch, when you this rich is more than likely China. Get it? Strong ass hoe. They can say they want that smoke. Well, I'm Papa Shango. I'll be hyper playing low. Get the ganja, no steamboat. And I fly as a crossbody, but I'm tired of...
This is former Ring of Honor World Champion, Adam Cole, baby, and you're listening to Condo on the Moon Podcast.
Ooh, yeah, stars, moon, time, and space. Space is the place, and we're back on the podcast for another week. It is almost the end of October, and I wonder... what you, Chris Walder, are going to be for Halloween. What are you going to be?
I can just go out as myself. I mean, that's pretty scary to begin with.
Yeah, apparently, according to Vince Russo, it is anyway. That is Chris Walder. Yeah, you know him from things like hanging with Vince Russo talking fantasy football, although I don't think it's called that. But you know him from a lot of places, including here on the Condo on the Moon podcast. I am James Borbath. You know me from just here. That is all the places I go. Well, I do a little Raptor stuff now, but not very much. Big game tonight for the Raptors. Exhibition action, Knickerbockers and Raptors. It should be extraordinarily unimportant.
I'm just glad it's the last preseason game, man. I'm so ready for the season to start. I'm done covering meaningless games that mean absolutely nothing. So bring it on.
In the wrestling equivalent, it would be like people covering like superstars. Oh, wait, people actually do that in wrestling, don't they? What are we doing as a society, like, when it comes to, like, coverage of stuff? It's gotten too out of control, Chris Walder. Like, I don't need to know what happened on Superstars. I don't know about you.
I don't need, like, a match-by-match breakdown. Like, I don't need to know when they executed an arm drag or threw somebody into the corner. Just tell me who won, and that should suffice.
Yeah, I don't even need that. Like, if Zack Ryder's on a winning streak on Superstars, I will be unaware of it, people. I'm just going to tell you that. I won't
never
know.
You don't want to miss, like, that one week where, like, someone debuts, WWE just trolls everybody, and they have, like, Kevin Steen show up on Superstars.
Good way to start the program. We'll get into that. NXT had their tapings, no Kevin Steen debut. So he's still Kevin Steen. He's still training at the Developmental Center. And we wonder, it looks like more and more he is going to be a part of that takeover event that's happening. And they've gotten really lazy, by the way. They're calling it takeover again. Like, don't these things get names now for NXT?
They do. Though it's a different name each time. The last one was Fatal 4-Way. The one before that was Arrival or whatever, and then this one's called Evolution.
Yeah, but they're branding it with the takeover. Like, it's kind of like In Your House. Remember In Your House?
Yeah.
It'd be like, In Your House, Beware of Dog.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't like it.
Hey, I like the card. Have you seen the card?
Yeah, the card looks solid. So Kevin will probably get involved there, I would assume.
Probably, yeah.
This stipulation for the title match has me a little bit concerned.
Why is that?
Well, there have been these rumors that one Sami Zayn has been the bunny.
Oh, what, you actually think he's just going to become the bunny full time?
I think he's not going to become the bunny full time, but it certainly would give you a plot line that could make him the bunny.
No, I think, if anything, that stipulation, and what we're talking about, obviously, is at TakeOver Evolution, Neville's going to defend the title against Zayn, and if Zayn loses, he leaves WWE. I just think that guarantees that Zayn's going to leave with the belt, and then you can kind of throw Neville into the Royal Rumble as a surprise entrant, get him on the main roster that way.
That seems too simple for the WWE. They don't do simple. They do complicated. And I think, you know what, another angle could be too. What if Kevin Steen is the guy that costs him being in the WWE? That would be a hell of a way to debut Steen.
I still think that Zayn wins, and then you could even just close the show with Steen coming out and the two of them stare each other down, and that's like your main headlining feud going into the new year.
That's boring, though, Chris Walder.
How is that boring? The fact that Steen shows up and Zayn wins the title isn't going to get you excited?
I want him involved in the outcome somehow, and I think he's going to be. I'll just say that, but it does look like a stellar card. The NXT tapings did go down leading up to this event, and Chris Walder, why don't you run us through? We already talked about the main event. What else have we got on deck for TakeOver? What is it now? TakeOver Evolution?
Evolution, yeah.
Wow, using up all Triple H's gimmicks in NXT.
Well, we got at least three other matches booked, and then one is probably going to be added based on what we've seen at the tapings, but we have Charlotte going to defend the Women's Championship against Sasha Banks. We have the Vaudevillains challenging the Lucha Dragons for the NXT tag titles. We also have the Ascension taking on the team of Hideo Itami and Finn Balor, who's going to debut on an upcoming episode of the show. Finn Balor is, of course, Prince Devitt. And it looks like through the tapings that we might get Baron Corbin versus Bull Dempsey as well.
Yeah, that would be a good match for Corbin. I mean, that would be a solid squash match for him, because I don't think Bull Dempsey's going anywhere. He's the new Mojo Rawley.
Well, they need to throw someone in the path of Corbin. They must have really high hopes for the guy. He's been on a squash spree as of late. I think the fans are really starting to buy into him. The entrance is cool. He has a mystery to him because he doesn't talk. So you never know. He might be challenging for the NXT title soon, too.
Yeah, he's big. He's got a look. I don't think he's ready for the main roster. So, yeah, I think he's definitely a guy who should be considered for that NXT championship at some point. But with all the heavy hitters down there right now, it's kind of tough. Like, it'll be interesting to see how long what we've dubbed the NXT 5, how long they're actually all there. Because I think Neville and Sami Zayn are chomping at the bit to be on the main roster. They've been ready for a long time. I think, you know, with Itami, with Finn Balor, better known as Kenta and Prince Devitt to most, and then Kevin Steen, I think these are all experienced guys too. So the question becomes, how long are those guys actually going to be around? And I don't know the answer to that. There's been a lot of talk they're not going to be around all that long. That's been the rumors. So it'll all be very interesting. It will all shake out on December 11th for that card, right?
I believe so, yeah. Last NXT show of the year.
Yeah, and the one person that you mentioned there, I think Sasha Banks, this is her show to prove if she's really a contender and someone to be reckoned with, or just another girl.
She's been kind of lost in the mix because there's been more, you know, imposing and more over divas or ladies on the show. You know, of course, Charlotte is heads and tails above everyone else, and the fans are really into Bayley, and now you have Carmella with Moray and Cassidy. So, you know, I like Sasha. I think she kind of reminds me of Alicia Fox, which might be held against her if she ever came up to the main roster. The fact that she's so comparable to somebody else. But what's the word that fans call her? She has it on her T-shirts now. It's sort of degrading. Do you know what that is?
Oh, gosh. Yeah, I'm trying to think of it. It's something the young people say. Yeah. Ratchet? Is that it?
Yeah, it's Ratchet, yeah.
Oh, I'm cool! I know something cool, Chris Walder. This is awesome.
Can't believe you remembered that. In all honesty, I think Sasha's actually going to beat Charlotte because Charlotte needs to get on the main roster, like, ASAP.
What?
We're going to be stuck with Nikki Bella and Brie Bella for the next year and a half.
Yeah, I'm very confused. Let's get into the Total Divas news of the week. I'm very confused with what's going on now. Okay, so there used to be a rule that whoever was on Total Divas can't win the title. Mm-hmm. Stephanie McMahon has now said that's Boulder Dash, yet Nikki Bella confirmed that in an interview with Peter Rosenberg. I don't know what the heck's going on. Oh, and by the way, Paige and Alicia Fox are now being added to Total Divas, which means the only person not on Total Divas, I think, is AJ Lee.
Emma's not on Total Divas either.
Well, okay, but, like, Emma, come on.
Well, Rosa Mendez. You could say, well, Rosa Mendez, come on. She's on
no, but Emma is, like, Emma's not getting anything for, like, the next year. Her Walmart incident apparently has buried her that badly. It's worse than the curtain call for Emma. Like,
yeah,
Triple H
true,
had
yeah.
to go through the pig slop. Well, she doesn't have to do that, but she's not going anywhere anytime soon.
Yeah, so that means Emma and AJ Lee are the only ones on the show.
That's your title program for the next decade.
Oh, dear Lord.
I don't know. I guess the rule's changing, but
by the way, Layla, too. She's not on it either.
Oh, okay. Well, the three-way match then. Emma,
yeah.
Layla, and AJ Lee. Although, I think they're actually trying to put that to bed, though. Like, because we're getting Paige and AJ for the millionth time. If Paige wins this match, obviously the title's coming to Total Divas, it would appear.
Yeah. Well, they've been juggling that belt for, like, the last several months. I think someone has to win two in a row. I mean, we'll talk about the match and the entire Hell in a Cell card soon enough. But if Paige does win, that's the only reason is because they need the belt on the show.
Yeah, we'll just finish this up. This season of Total Divas, I thought, has been just totally stupid.
Total Divas in general?
Yeah, I thought the whole, they've gone too far for me. Me personally, I watched Total Divas to laugh at it. And
yeah.
It was fake, and it was funny, and that's not why they want people watching the show. Or maybe it is, I don't know. But they've gone too far now. With this whole thing about Natty Neidhart and TJ Wilson are going to get a divorce. We're supposed to believe this? And oh, now Brie has ratted out her sister, and John Cena no longer wants to be with Nikki Bella. Like, come on. Like, I'm tired of all of this.
The most scripted reality show on television. It really is.
You know how bad this season has been?
What?
Eva Marie actually looks like a baby face on this show.
Yeah, that's true.
That's how bad it's been.
She's getting written into that thing pretty nicely compared to some of the other girls.
Well, I mean, she's the only one with a storyline that I can feel any sympathy towards.
No, that's what I mean, yeah. Like, her character is being has a nice halo-y light on top of her, you know? Everyone else, it's like, oh, what the hell are they doing?
And even that, like, I think it was last... Now they're running double episodes, so I don't know when was what, but...
Yeah.
They had that road trip. Even in that, she came off looking like a total, like, bitch at some point. Like, I don't know. I'm done with Total Divas. I really am. And I don't think Paige or Alicia Fox is going to change my mind. I'm sorry to say. But the ratings are down for that show, too. So it doesn't look good for the Total Divas. It's not looking good.
Well, I love how they keep airing the show during WWE pay-per-views. Like, that's ever a smart idea, considering, like, the company is so obsessed with getting high ratings. I know it's on a different network or whatnot, but you'd think that they would move it to a different time slot or a different night if it has to compete with, like, Hell in a Cell, for example.
But that's proof of the fact why this whole show doesn't work. Because the audiences aren't crossovers. If you look historically, when they've run against WWE pay-per-views, they haven't had bad ratings. Their ratings have been about the same.
Mm-hmm.
So that means the people that are watching Total Divas are not necessarily the people that are watching WWE programming.
That's a good point.
I mean, it doesn't make a lot of sense to me. I mean, I guess if you can make revenue and money off of Total Divas on its own, okay. But anyone that thinks this is any kind of promotion for the WWE... is just, it's laughable to think that. It doesn't, the numbers don't suggest that.
Well, you mean guys like us, you know, sitting on the couch turning on Raw every week, we're not watching Total Divas too? Like, that's not part of our demographic?
Apparently not, because I mean, although my investment level in this pay-per-view, Total Divas might be just about as good as this pay-per-view on some level.
Oh, you're being harsh.
maybe I am. But actually, match-wise, this pay-per-view looks all right. But I'm just, the storylines don't compel me all that much. But we'll get into that at the end. We'll save that for the end. Other stuff going on this week. John Cena going to jump into the world of reality TV and be a producer of a reality TV show.
Did they say what the show was exactly?
They just said he's
doing a reality.
They have not. So, like, that's why I bring this up. What kind of a show can you see John Cena producing? Or Cena?
Well, I don't know. Maybe he could do something with, like, kids doing spelling bees, and he can call it Word Life.
Very good. I was thinking up-and-coming white rappers, the next Vanilla Ice.
Why does that sound so racist? It has to be white. They have to be white rappers just like me.
Did you hear him with Wiz Khalifa? Can you not tell he's a white rapper when he does that?
He's very slow when he raps. He goes like one word a minute.
His rap is gone. His rap game is gone.
Like,
in all honesty, like when he was doing the rap gimmick before,
mm-hmm.
In all honesty, I thought, as someone who likes rap music, who likes hip-hop and all that, I thought he wasn't horrible. He was definitely passable, and he could freestyle, he could do some stuff. Now, he sucks.
But that's why he's got to associate himself with, like, really big-name rappers for credibility purposes.
Yeah, but, like, I mean, like, he's lost it, though. That's my point. Like, he has no flow left in him.
Because he can't swear either. You know, WWE is looking over his shoulder. Don't say the A word. Don't say the F word.
So John Cena really can't be himself.
Well, what else will rhyme with the word puck, you know?
Pucks, yeah. CM Punk sees lots
hockey
of pucks.
Hockey rap, Cena.
Yeah, CM Punk goes to the hockey games, not John Cena. That's his thing.
He burns CM Punk in his next rap talking about hockey games, but he's like, damn it, man, I can't rhyme with Puck.
Yeah, he does a diss rap on Punk, and that's how he comes back, finally.
Now we're talking.
Actually, it seems, sadly, that this is just getting worse with Punk in the WWE. They're now, like, trying to literally erase Punk from history.
He never existed, like, as far as they're concerned.
They're confiscating signs. They're doing all this stuff. I mean, to me, this is like, this whole situation with CM Punk, the WWE is fueling it when they say they're trying to extinguish it. Because if you tell a kid not to do something, they're going to do it. Mm-hmm. If you just ignore it and let them get it out of their system, it's probably going to be done. But when you go confiscating signs, when you're going out of your way not to mention the guy, when his legitimate wife works for the company, what do you expect's going to happen?
It's so stupid. I mean, I can understand why they take away the signs, especially if they're in the view of a camera. That WWE has every right to remove anything they don't want shown up on their programming. But at the same time, it's like maybe they're going a little bit overboard. You know, Punk was a big deal. He was one of your top guys for the last 3 years. So I know the bridges were burned, and his departure left a really bad taste in their mouth. But holy crap, I mean, maybe you're over-exaggerating a bit here.
Yeah, and I mean, this is a guy who, whatever you think about him, he's never done anything bad that has disgraced the company. I mean, this is a guy who's really lived a clean life as far as... You don't hear about CM Punk getting arrested. You would never expect to hear it. He, in his own way, represents the people that he represents, and he stays out of trouble and keeps his nose clean. I mean, you can't say that about other past WWE superstars.
No wellness violations with this guy. You know, he straight-edge lifestyle, right? He's not putting anything into his system that would... tarnish the good name of WWE, steroids, performance enhancers, stuff like that.
Yeah, and that leads me into the next topic that I want to talk about. All of a sudden, the WWE has gone the way of the NFL, NBA, and other places, and now they're strictly against domestic violence and child abuse that came out this week. I'm curious. I'm not as curious about the WWE doing this. I think this is typically the corporate type of stuff they do. But there was also that thing about Stephanie McMahon being part of the Eisenhower Fellowship. And I found it very odd that this announcement seemed to come right after that.
Well, can you go in depth about this Eisenhower thing? Because I've heard about it, but I'm not really in the know about what it's all about.
I don't really know either, other than to say it seems like a move that someone who had aspirations for politics would really want to make. And yeah. I kind of think that's where Stephanie is heading with all this. I mean, when you look at what she's done in the past 5 years, she's been doing all these initiatives with the anti-bullying campaign, the mothers group that she has with the World Wrestling Federation, all these really, you know, grassroots kind of movement things, and it just seems like she's gearing up to, you know, mom couldn't get it done, dad obviously can't run for a lot of reasons. I think little Stephanie is going to get the McMahons in the maybe not the White House, but in Congress or somewhere.
And then the first thing her opposing candidate does is show footage of her slapping Brie Bella in the stands and then making it out to be that Brie was just a regular fan and Stephanie's against the people.
Ah, but this is the thing. She did that interview with Yahoo Sports and went out of her way to say how she loves to play her bad guy character, which sent people in an uproar. Jim Cornette almost had a heart attack this week, that young Stephanie McMahon would put an end to kayfabe in 2014. How dare she? But I mean, realistically, come on now. Like, I'm with Stephanie on this one. I mean, yeah, so she says it, but I mean, she's distancing herself from the character. And she kind of has to wear both hats like she does. The main problem Vince always had is he wouldn't distance himself from the character. I don't think people could tell the difference sometimes between evil Mr. McMahon on television and evil Mr. McMahon in real life. I think they were kind of the same guy.
Good for Stephanie. I mean, breaking kayfabe isn't as big of a deal as it was, you know, maybe in the late 90s and whatnot. If Stephanie wants to just kind of say, you know what, I'm a B-I-T-C-H on television, I'm really evil, I'm against all good, but that's my character, that's the person I play on TV, I'm all for it. Fans are smart now, you know. Maybe there's people still in the industry who are against it because it goes against what they worked so hard for, but, you know, it's 2014. We all know what's going on.
Could you imagine Triple H one day as the first man of the United States of America?
Oh, dear God. Pedigrees for everyone.
That would be something, wouldn't it?
I don't even want to envision that. Like, that's crazy. Hunter Hearst Helmsley behind a podium, you know?
Well, you know, it could happen for Bill Clinton, or it could happen for Hunter. We'll see.
That took me back to, like, that D-Generation X promo where they're behind the podium with China, and they start swearing, and I don't want to say what exactly they were saying, but just imagine him as, like, president or governor of a state.
Yeah, well, actually, he was, like, the vice president there. Shawn Michaels was the president. But funny enough, you bring up China, because she reappeared out of nowhere this week as well. And I'm very confused with what China had to say. She is against the whole idea of the WWE having a domestic violence policy. I don't understand what the hell she was ranting on about. Clearly, this woman has not gotten over the fact that Paul Levesque is now married to Stephanie McMahon, and that happened a long time ago. It's time to move on. They certainly have. They have 3 children. China clearly hasn't.
That woman is certifiably nuts. And I heard that she did that YouTube rant, and I was kind of curious, like my interest was piqued, just to see what the hell she was going to talk about, but at the same time, I didn't want to give her a moment of my day.
I heard it, and it was the most bipolar, disturbing thing that I've ever heard in my life. The most disturbing thing was the idea of her thinking about becoming a teacher for kindergarten children. No one wants that.
Oh, God. Former porn actress teaching the kindergarten kids? Not happening.
I don't know, though. With the way things are going in the States, we love you, America, but there's been like a scandal a week with these teachers sleeping with their students.
Yeah, that's true. Everyone's getting laid in high school.
Yeah, it's not good, you know. Well, I mean, maybe it is for the kids, but I don't know.
Yeah, they're the most popular kids in school now.
I don't know. It's a weird world we live in, Chris Walder. And obviously, we joke about that, but some serious events here in Canada this week. I just don't know. The world's becoming a screwed up place. And I don't necessarily want to get into what happened here in Canada, which was a tragedy and all that. But I had mentioned on Monday night how disgusted I was with that whole angle with the Big Show. I think what happened here on Wednesday made me even more disgusted with the angle with the Big Show and Rusev and this soldier that wasn't a soldier. It was so wrong, and it's even more wrong. It reminds me of, I don't think it'll be portrayed as big a gaffe as it was when Muhammad Hussein had the terrorist whole thing with The Undertaker, because it didn't happen to... Well, actually, no, that was in a foreign land, too. It was in Britain. That happened, but it rubs me the wrong way, and I just thought that angle was so stupid, and it's cheap heat in its highest form, and we don't need it.
Yeah, the timing was really bad, considering what happened here in Canada. We had a soldier who was shot on Parliament Hill, which is an insane tragedy. Shouldn't have happened, but it did. And then, you know, on Monday Night Raw, you get Rusev kicking a soldier in the head. So, but it was here in Canada. It wasn't an American thing. But, you know, at the end of the day, everything that Rusev is doing as of late is so, like, anti-American. Like, that's his character. And they were running out of things to do. Like, what else could he do at this point besides, like, publicly urinating on the flag? Like, they had to do something. And he kicked a soldier in the head. It didn't really work for me, but now it kind of pissed me off, you know, 2 days later, what happened here.
Yeah, but here's the thing. The WWE, and to their credit, I'm going to give them credit for this, they have always supported the U.S. military. They have went out of their way to support the U.S. military. Even when it wasn't the cool thing to do, they were sending their people over to Iraq to entertain the troops. And Vince McMahon, the driving force behind that, he deserves all the credit in the world for that. But if you put so much value in the American soldiers, in the American military, and make it part of, for lack of a better term, what the WWE's corporate platform is all about, how can you then, on the other hand, just totally insult us with that angle? Here's my thing. If that's a real U.S. soldier, let's just say it was. It wasn't, but let's say it was. You mean to tell me a U.S. soldier cannot take out some security guy at a friggin' arena? Like, what's that saying about the U.S. military?
Well, only you would look, you know, as literal as that. You know, like, he couldn't get by like a puny little security guard? Yeah, well, it's scripted, you know.
He's training in damn combat if he's a soldier, for God's sakes.
He ran through enemy fire. He couldn't get past one guy.
He can't get by some fat, bald guy that looked like Howard Finkel.
Oh, Finkel.
Yeah. So, you know, oh, by the way, I didn't miss Josh Roberts at all.
Well, we got Lillian Garcia instead. That's an upgrade as far as I'm concerned.
Ah, whatever. Apparently that guy's going to write a autobiography.
Really?
Or a biography book.
Is he really?
Yeah, apparently.
Oh, God.
Like, I'm sorry. You know, like, I get it. He's a nice guy. Fans like him. Blah, blah, blah. But at some point, this is the thing. I get really worked up about this. And maybe I'm taking it out on the wrong person here. But in general, when the WWE fires someone, anyone, it seems like this big, heartwarming thing of support comes for this person. When's the last time anyone cared about a JTG match until he got fired? Yeah. You know, like, when's the last time anyone cared about, you know, Curt Hawkins or whoever? You know, it's just, it gets to the point that, come on, like, really?
Well, I understand the support for Roberts because he's out there all the time, right? He's announcing everyone's name to the ring and doing all this stuff. But in comparison to what you're saying with the JTGs and the Brian Myers, that's his name right now, right?
Brian Myers.
Yeah, like maybe there's not going to be as much support for those guys because, I mean, when were they ever on television? When were they ever important? But with Roberts doing this stupid book, I mean, if you're ever going to do it, now is the time with your name as probably as big as it's ever going to be now.
I don't know. I just can't imagine anyone buy that. And I wasn't taking a shot at Curt Hawkins or Brian Myers. I mean, it was just the first name that popped in my head, literally. I mean, if Zack Ryder had been fired, that would have been the first name that popped in my head. But, you know, at some point, it's just like, look, this company's hemorrhaging money. I don't know if people were aware of this, but things are not going well in the WWE. People are going to get fired. People are going to lose their jobs. That's what happens when a company isn't being successful. Now, you can blame the people for why it's not successful, sure, but the fact that they're making cuts and they're making people change and lose their jobs and stuff like that, that's the reality when a company isn't successful.
I was still surprised that Justin, got booted because I thought he was good at his job. He wasn't great. I think he probably expected to have a Finkel-like career where he'd be doing this for decades and he'd be the next really great, memorable announcer. But, and then we're hearing these stories about how he was, like, flipping off Michael Cole and he was talking smack during his final show. Probably knew he was going to lose his job, but there's better ways to handle things, and maybe he's burned bridges. So
yeah.
He was never going to come back. I mean, when was the last time a ring announcer got fired and then he was brought back to do the job again? So.
Finkel. But he still stayed with the company. But,
yeah.
But Finkel was out of the announcing gig for a while, and then they always bring him back. He gets treated like garbage. Like in all honesty, the WWE, he's one of their longest-term employees, and he gets treated like total garbage.
On that Jim Ross grind, eh?
Yeah, he does not get treated. No, even Jim Ross. Like, Jim Ross at least had the sense to walk away at times and then take a breather and come back.
Yeah.
But Finkel's been there from, like, before wrestling really took off in the 80s. Like, that's how long Howard's been there.
Well, that's why he comes back for nostalgia purposes. Like, he called all these big WrestleManias, and he's the greatest of all time at what he did. So
Hall of Famer, too.
Yeah, Hall of Famer. Called. I still love his entrance of CM Punk in the Survivor Series against Del Rio. That was amazing. When he paused so damn long, Punk comes out and he points to his, like, fake wristwatch. Like, dude, you could have gone a little bit shorter, The show's on the air here.
Ah, well, it is what it is. Howard does his thing, and he will be on the only season ever of, what was that show?
Legends House.
Yeah, they're never going to do another one. That's it. It's over. I mentioned the WWE's financial state, though. It is getting to that time again, Chris Walder. Third quarter report coming up I think it's on the 30th.
Are we going to have another stock watch segment?
We might. Hopefully not for the WWE's sake, but it could. Let's put it this way. The subscriber number, I do not expect to be good. I expect it to be really bad. And this is with their international expansion, which, for my money, some people have said they like what's gone on here in Canada, and apparently they've done well here in Canada. I hate what they did in Canada.
Well, how big is the library now? Have they improved it?
They keep saying it. They've heard us and it's coming, but I don't know. See, I'm using an American version of the network, so I'm not personally affected by this, but I would never take the Canadian package the way it is right now. And I think, in general, I think their numbers are not going to be greatly improved. I think for all that they're going to gain internationally, they're going to lose it domestically, because I think a lot of people domestically just have no time for this network. And another thing that I think, I don't understand the ambiguity about certain things with this network. Like, in that interview we referenced with Stephanie, where she was talking with Yahoo Sports, she was the first person I've heard to this point say, oh yeah, you'll get WrestleMania this year on the WWE Network. You know, they've left that kind of vague, and like, I would be pointing out every asset this network has and tilting it to the moon. Like, you don't need this $9.99 stuff. I think people are much more interested in, I'm going to get WrestleMania 31? Good. You know, like, I don't care about $9.99. Just tell me what I'm getting for my money.
Right. And I think the numbers are going to rise around January when the road to WrestleMania begins. I might even throw down my $9.99 at that point because, hell, I'd love to save money on WrestleMania, which is a little bit more expensive than the other pay-per-views. I think it's like $10 or $15 more. So I'm curious to hear what these new subscriptions are going to be like. Even with the overseas, WWE's probably expecting a million, which they won't even come close to. I think they'll probably be 700, 750,000. What do you think?
That's the thing. I don't think they're expecting a million. I think, because what also came out, not this week, but last week, was the whole idea of them bringing advertising into WWE Network.
Yeah.
To me, that says we're not going to reach our number, and we've got to pad this network with some kind of revenue, and that's the revenue they're going to pad it with. So, to me, I don't think... I think their number last time was just under 700,000, right?
Yeah.
I'll be shocked if they get to 8.
Yeah, me too. Like, even though England's probably a big market for them, they might...
They haven't launched in England yet, though.
Oh, have they not?
No, I think they launch in England now November 1st because they got pushed back a month.
Oh, right. Yeah, you're right. It did get pushed back. Yeah.
So I mean, they haven't even launched in England, and I agree with you. The one thing I don't understand from the WWE's point of view is both Canada and the UK have traditionally always supported the WWE in huge numbers. Yet, the amount of shows we see both in the UK and, more importantly, here in Canada are minuscule in comparison to how they were in the Attitude Era, and I just don't get that. Like, I don't understand the logic in that for the WWE, because I think, you know, when they're hurting for crowds, like, they're hurting for crowds now here in Canada when they come up, but it's because when is the last time Southern Ontario got, like, a Raw, for example? I can't even remember.
We're an afterthought now, James. We got to step up our game because WWE has pushed us down the totem pole. We're below their shoe. We're just the gum on the soles of their sneakers, man. It's not good. But to be fair, like, even if WWE were to come here, I wouldn't throw down any money to go see them live, especially these live events. Actually, there was a story. They just did a show in Montreal, I think, over the last weekend, and Sami Zayn was actually like the focal point of their car. He had an opening match, an NXT thing. I think it was against Breeze or Neville. And then he came out during the main event, and then the final segment was, you know, all of the main superstars in the ring with his music playing, so that's kind of cool. If they did that in Southern Ontario, maybe I could invest in that.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, there's a lot of Canadians that are now starting to become part of this company again. I mean, obviously you got Renee Young and our old Cal, a.k.a. Kyle Edwards, on the announcing, but now we've got, you know, Tyson Kidd's around, and he's starting to become on the main roster a little bit. You got Kevin Steen, you got Sami Zayn. You're starting to see the influx of Canadians like we used to have, where, you know, I honestly, since Edge, really, Canadian wrestlers have been dead. I mean, Natalya aside, who really hasn't done much of anything, and Total Divas, not to get back into Total Divas, but if Total Divas has done anything, it is firmly implanted that I don't like Natalya Neidhart in the slightest, and in fact, I don't like anyone in the Hart family that isn't named Owen.
Even Brett?
No, I don't like Brett. I've never liked Brett. I think Brett is a whiny crybaby, and he needs to get over the past, and he still hasn't.
Well, he's my childhood hero, man. Brett the Hitman Hart.
He's everybody's childhood hero in Canada, but, you know, of a certain age. But I think he just, you know, like, it's too much woe is me. That's my take about Bret Hart.
Don't you think he's kind of past that now?
I don't think he is. I think he's got this kind of hangdog attitude, and he always has had. I mean, I think he's more at peace with everything. I think he's made peace with Vince McMahon. He's made peace with Shawn Michaels. You know, he's made peace with what's happened, but I think he's still angry and he's still bitter about it.
Well, to each their own, buddy. I'm still a Bret supporter to this day. You know, sharpshooters galore. I'll put my brother in a sharpshooter. I'll put you in a sharpshooter after that.
I'd like to see you try that. That would be interesting. That would make a good video.
There you go. We're making it viral, baby.
Yeah, I don't know. But anyway, I don't know. It's just, you know, it's one of those things. In England, I mean, they do the one tour every year, but, you know, like, they've only ever had the one pay-per-view, and obviously the challenge with having a pay-per-view in England is the time difference, and, you know, TNA went through that whole mess with going to Japan.
Yeah, I was about to say.
I mean, it doesn't work out. The UFC has figured out a way to make it work.
Mm-hmm.
Like I think, you know, it'd be interesting to see if the WWE tried something like that, where the UFC runs like two shows in a day. Could the WWE roster support that, where they could do like a pay-per-view in England and throw that, like, make that like a network exclusive? Like, with the network, it's not as dependent on pay-per-view, right? So, like, in theory, they could do this. They could run, like, a show in England in the afternoon and run a show at night in the States and, you know, do both.
Yeah, but they'll never test that. They did that a lot back in the day with, like, Insurrection or whatever, Rebellion.
Yeah, those were Europe-only pay-per-views, though.
Yeah. No, didn't they?
No.
Some of them made their way here, no?
No, well, they did, like, through illegal means, but legally, no. They were always just English, like, Sky TV, that's the big thing over
here. Yeah.
Sky TV exclusives.
All right, well, whatever, even if we don't get them. We have too many pay-per-views as it is. We don't need any more network exclusives on top of that.
Oh, come on!
No one cares about. What?
The NXT shows are great! I'll take six of them.
Oh, I'll take those. I've gotten to the point now where I separate anything NXT from WWE. I'm just like, it's that standalone brand. I don't want to associate it with the crap that I watch every week.
It is now its own separate brand.
It is.
By the way, it is Friday. And before we get into the pay-per-view, I would like to point out that Dixie Carter said, by today, we would know where TNA was going to be broadcast on what network. Chris Walder, I've been somewhat busy today, but I haven't heard anything. Have you?
I have not, nor do I care where they end up.
So in other words, Dixie Carter has lied again to us.
Well, it's still early in the day.
Oh, yeah. As we're recording, breaking kayfabe of our podcast, it is 3:25 p.m. We have not heard a peep from Dixie Carter. Maybe she's waiting till when the WWE pay-per-view is on Sunday to make the big announcement.
She'll announce it during the damn main event. Well, let me check her Twitter account. Maybe she said something.
Probably not. As Walder checks the Twitter account, I will remind people of Dixie's other promises, like this big giant star that's going to sign with TNA, who we still don't know who that is.
Alberto Del... I don't know who it is.
No, I don't think it's Del Rio.
No. Well, I'm updating now. Dixie Carter has not said a damn thing.
Well, that's good for TNA, usually. When there's no activity on her Twitter account, that's always a positive.
She's promoting Bobby Lashley's next Bellator fight, so there's that.
Oh, yeah, because you should promote the network that you're not on, their big company, Bellator MMA. Good job, Dixie. Way to go.
Yeah, I'm not... I would have a good laugh if they said, like, oh, we're going to be debuting on YouTube next week. Like,
YouTube! There you go! I've never heard of that, YouTube. What's that?
Or even, like, Netflix. That would be hilarious.
Oh, man.
Netflix wants to get into the wrestling game.
Yeah, but in all seriousness, they couldn't even do something like that, because their budget is basically what they get for television.
Yeah.
So, like, they're screwed. Like, if they don't get TV, it's over.
They're royally screwed, yeah.
Like,
nor do I care. Even if they get on TV, I don't watch their crap anymore anyway.
All right. But, you know, it is what it is. And like we said, Ring of Honor, they are going to be on traditional pay-per-view, Final Battle. We will start gearing up for that, maybe not next week, but the week after.
Perfect.
As the road to Final Battle marches through, we've got some more solid lines of communication, and hopefully that will result in us getting a bunch of interviews heading down the path to Final Battle. So we look forward to that.
Sweet.
Good.
ROH, baby.
Yeah, and then, videos of Walder attempting to be a wrestler, we don't know.
What? Sorry?
Well, you said you were going to slap me in the sharpshooter and all that, so videos of that, we don't know if those are happening.
Exactly. But you know what? I always thought, like, what would my name would be if I were to be, like, in ROH or WWE or whatever.
Oh, boy, this will be good.
What? It wouldn't be that bad. I want to be named after, like, a food, like cheeseburger.
They already have one of those in ROH.
But that's the thing. I want to be named after a food, but I'm struggling to think about what I would be called, though.
Oh,
like
what?
Swiss cheese, or...
Do you listen to, like, MLW at all?
I used to a little bit, but...
Because you're reminding me of MSL now, because MSL wants to be a milkshake, or a hot dog, or... And now you want to be a cheeseburger, but there already is a cheeseburger.
Maybe like bratwurst.
Maybe. Here's the thing. Maybe we can make this all work. We can get cheeseburger from ROH, we can get MSL and you together, and you can make like a Happy Meal.
The four basic food groups. We need someone else, though.
You need someone to be the apple pie.
Yeah, so, or lettuce, or cabbage.
No. In a Happy Meal, you get like an apple pie... You get, like, the cheeseburger, the fries.
No, I'm cutting up McDonald's from everything now. My diet, just the wordplay. The last time I had McDonald's, it did not go down good.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that, Chris Walder. What if they became a sponsor of our podcast?
Oh, they got to give me, like, the good stuff, man. I don't want the stuff that's been sitting in the sun for, like, a 24 hours, you know? Because whatever I got, like, a McDouble the last time I went there, and it was, like, the most disgusting thing I've ever eaten. But I was so hungry, I finished the entire thing, and afterwards, I was miserable.
This is fascinating.
This is what we talk about here on the podcast, people.
a few weeks ago, this is my fault, people, because a few weeks ago, I did say... Chris Walder, maybe we should let people in on our lives, you know, like John and Wade do with Review of Raw and all the stuff they do on The Law. So this is my doing. So
thanks a lot, James.
I'm just saying, if there's blame to go around, it's on me.
Not to go too deep into my life, but yeah, I had a bad sandwich.
yeah, your bad McDonald's experience. I don't know, but no, it's all good. We got a pay per view coming up, Chris Walder. I don't know if that's more important than your sandwich consumption or not.
Well, they're both hell, so sure.
Wow! McDonald's is just never sponsoring our podcast. They're never loving us.
We got to get Subway on. We got to get Jared on the show, man. Subway.
Yeah, Jared, Subway, what was it like to work with Santino Marella and John Cena and all of that?
See, that's how we get those big-name guys on the show. We get in touch with Jared, and he's kind of like our connection to everybody else in WWE.
Okay, you work on that. I'll keep going the realistic route with our ROH interviews. You see if Jared from Subway can hook us up with a John Cena exclusive here on the podcast.
Oh, you know I'll go for it.
Oh, I encourage it. I encourage it, because first thing John will do is bash me for mispronouncing his name. It'll be great. Great.
John Cena, Warrior Princess.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, you're not that guy? Oh, I'm sorry. Who are you then? You're that guy who's always on WWE that I turn off. Ah.
Oh, okay.
That's right. So, that guy that everybody turns off, he has a match. He's facing Randall Orton. There is rumors going around the internet that Randall Orton is not 100% healthy. We don't know one way or the other about this at this time. Maybe by the time you're listening to this, there will be definitive word. But if Randy Orton is hurt, boy, oh boy, that's a shame. Because I actually enjoyed Randy Orton on Raw this week. When is the last time? In fact, there have been 34 or 35 podcasts. I don't ever recall saying I enjoyed Randall Orton on a program until I'm saying it right now.
Well, don't worry, James. I'm jumping on the Orton bandwagon with you. He killed it on Raw. And I'll be completely honest. I was so upset with the way the first hour of Raw went, I turned off the rest of it. I did not watch all 3 hours of Raw. But I heard through the Twitter scope that Randy Orton RKO'd Cena and Paul Heyman, and then I watched the clips on YouTube.
Out of nowhere!
Out of nowhere!
Vintage Randy Orton!
Oh, man, he was the king. He was the king of Raw. I'm really loving the work he's been doing as of late. Obviously, they're teasing tension between him and Seth Rollins, and a face Randy Orton is probably on the horizon, but at Hell in a Cell, he's still, you know, the ultimate baddie, with the Viper, of course, going up against the Hell in a Cell. A match that might be the main event, James.
Yeah, that's the part I don't like. But it is what it is. Randy did his part. And, of course, John friggin' Cena.
Cena, damn it.
Whatever the hell.
Cena again.
I don't give a damn. This guy comes out there doing this stupid grandpa voice comedy after Randy Orton had that crowd hostile. Like, they wanted to kill him. Because he was going after their Kansas City Royals, which, oh, by the way, did get trounced like Randy Orton told you they would. you know, he had that crowd to fever pitch, and then John Cena is out there trying to do comedy. Because John Cena thinks he's funny.
Ugh.
And then Paul Heyman came out and kind of balanced everything out. It wasn't the greatest Heyman in the world, but we haven't seen Paul in like a month, so it was just nice to see him. But that was clearly one of the takeaway segments from Raw. One guy who can do comedy, though, is Dean Ambrose. I think he's hilarious.
Well, before you get too deep into that, I thought his stupid segment with the doll, like the Seth Rollins mannequin or whatever it was, I thought that was so stupid.
Oh, no, I enjoyed it.
You enjoyed that?
I thought it was comedically... It wasn't the best, although him watching the movie was much better. See No Evil 2 with the popcorn, absolutely great.
That was funny. Not the stuff he was doing with the Rollins doll. I thought that was really... It was just cheesy WWE garbage.
I thought he did the best with what was given to him, let's put it that way.
Sure, James, sure.
No, I really did. I mean, they gave him lemons. He did the best he could to make lemonades out of it.
He squeezed a couple of drops out of those lemons. That's all he did.
Well, you know, the person I feel most sorry about for is Caitlyn because of the meme that came out after.
Who? What?
You didn't see that?
No, what?
One slightly used Caitlyn doll was the meme with that.
What are you calling it? A meme?
Yeah, what is it called?
It's a meme.
Whatever.
Oh, man, you're the best, James.
I'm old, okay?
John Cena, a meme. I love it. I absolutely love it.
Whatever. Meme, whatever. The point is, those stupid little things that everyone does where they write the words on the picture,
One used Caitlyn doll, eh?
Yeah.
We're talking about the Caitlyn, you know, like, former diva here?
That's the one.
All right. Well, you know, Dean Ambrose is the titty master, and it doesn't get any better than that.
I hate to inform people, though. Caitlyn has not grown facial hair. She's not the bearded woman. In fact, if you've been keeping up with her, she actually looks like she's in great shape right now. Better than when she was in WWE, to be honest.
Well, she's back on that competitive fitness competition grind, you know. Her husband is big on that, you know, the lifting and the posing and the speedos and all that jazz. So, Caitlyn, she's a beautiful woman.
Yeah, she's looking good.
Even though she could crush your head between those thighs.
You've thought of this at some point, I think, Chris Walder.
Just a couple of minutes ago.
Wow.
Before you even brought her name up. That's just my head, James.
And you're the one with the girlfriend on this program, not me.
I love you, Jen.
There you go. Anyway, one thing more about Raw, and then we'll get into the pay-per-view. Mick Foley, that is how you do a celebrity former wrestler drop-in. Absolutely gold. That's what you're supposed to do. Why can't everyone else be like Mick Foley?
It was hilarious. His daughter was on Twitter after. She's like, Dad, you didn't say you were going to Los Angeles?
Where did she think her dad was?
I have no idea, but she probably didn't know at all that he was going to be on Raw. So I thought that was pretty joke.
Yeah, it was fun. But no, Raw wasn't in Los Angeles. It was in, where was it?
Or not
Kansas City, obviously,
because
the Royals.
Whatever.
You're making fun of me not knowing how to say mem, meme, whatever. You don't even know where Raw was.
Who cares? I didn't watch it.
You did. You said you watched an hour.
I watched the first hour. And
well, what did you think all the Kansas City Royal jokes were about?
You know what? This is Walder talking here. Let's not be surprised that I screwed this up.
Anyway, the point is, Mick Foley did a tremendous job. That's what you're supposed to do when you show up. You make the guys that are in the ring with you look important and be more important than when you left. Why can't so many of these other jerks that come back figure this out and be able to do this?
I'm so, stuck on Ambrose and Rollins opening the show. Like, I have every gut feeling that they're going to have that be the first match, and then Cena Orton's going to main event.
Yeah, that'll suck. But, you know, like I said, Mick Foley did his job. He sold the whole idea of how the cell changes, you know, people's career. He made it seem like both Seth and Dean were a huge deal, which they are. And I thought, you know, just a tremendous surprise. And that's one thing. You know, Raw hasn't been the greatest of late, but I will say this. They're at least trying to get back into the whole, you never know what might happen. Like, we saw The Rock a few weeks ago. We saw Mick Foley, who's not under contract to the WWE. So that one was a pretty huge surprise. Like, Mick Foley doesn't even have a Legends deal with them right now.
Yeah, no one saw that coming.
Yeah.
But I'm happy that he hyped up the match, you know, make the sell seem like a big deal, but could either of us come up with, like, one really, really good Hell in a Cell match that ever took place on that pay-per-view?
Oh, on that pay-per-view? I don't know.
Yeah. Like,
no.
We've had Undertaker Punk, we've had Kane Undertaker, no. Cena Orton, we're getting that again.
Like, in all honesty, the two Hell in a Cell matches that come to mind are the first two ever. Like, the Bad Blood one with Shawn Michaels and The Undertaker, I think it still stands up today. Go back on the WWE Network if you spent your $9.99 and watch it. It debuted Kane. Kane. We had to fit that in this week.
But what I'm talking about is the pay-per-view named after the match.
Oh, no, I understand. But what I'm just saying, the history of the Hell in a Cell, some of the best matches were the first couple. Like, the Bad Blood one and the one at King of the Ring, obviously, where Mick Foley goes off the top of the cell, and I think anyone who's a wrestling fan has at least seen that 10 times.
Pretty much, yeah.
I think you can't avoid that. But the whole idea, here's the thing, the whole idea of these gimmick tied to pay-per-view, I think should be abolished. I don't want to see it. I don't want to have the Money in the Bank, I don't want to have Hell in the Cell, I don't want any of it. You can use these gimmicks where they fit into your storyline and do it every year. It doesn't have to necessarily always be in October for this. Like, one of the ones that could be a huge pay-per-view and really ultimately becomes an afterthought. Elimination Chamber. They spent how much money to build that thing? And it becomes literally the fodder pay-per-view before we get to WrestleMania, where nothing happens.
That's not true. I mean, they used that to either determine the number one contender for WrestleMania, only when there was the two titles, or you get to see who's going to be the champion. You have 6 guys, so it kind of gets interesting, because you never know if they'll do a title switch.
They've never done a title switch!
Of course they have! What are you talking
when?
About? When? Didn't they have Cena win the title once, and then he dropped it to Batista right after?
I don't think so. I don't remember that.
When they did WrestleMania 26.
Maybe.
Cena, I think Sheamus was the champion going into the show. Maybe. Whatever. Who cares?
Listeners, if you're out there, you can let us know. Is Walder right? Am I right? But
yeah,
we don't want to get caught up in this argument. But the point is, I always see it as an afterthought pay-per-view where I'm pretty much, I know the direction for WrestleMania already.
Yeah.
So, like, if you move that pay-per-view to, say, like, June, then all of a sudden it becomes a totally different pay-per-view, right?
Yeah, but I'm looking forward to the one this year because I don't think anyone has a damn clue what they're doing for WrestleMania.
They might not have enough people to fill the pods. Let's be honest.
You see Adam Rose in one cell and then the Great Khali.
The Bunny! The Bunny's going to be in a pod.
El Torito.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I mean, who's had the worst luck with injuries, the WWE or UFC? I mean, they had another big card canceled. Cain Velasquez down and out. He now can't defend his heavyweight title. I mean, UFC has been taking it on the chin.
They're just going to have to start throwing robots into these things because that way they can...
The Fox fighting robots!
Killer disco robots just going into the ring and just pounding each other. Because that way they just need an oil change, just a few more batteries. You know, you don't have to cancel entire shows.
Yeah, we'll have wrestlers playing Rock'em Sock'em robots to determine the outcome of matches.
Let's go, Cena.
Cena sucks.
Ugh.
Go blue robot. Get him. Anyway, let's run through this card and do some predictions because we are getting awfully silly at the 1 hour mark of this show.
Let's blaze through this damn stinking same card every show pay per view. And, God, I don't even want to talk about it, James. It's so bad.
We must. This is what our calling is.
All right, yeah.
Unless you're making that big NBA money doing the Raptors, like, this is what we do every Friday.
I'm on that Bargnani salary.
Oh, God. Who? We'd all like to be on that Bargnani salary.
Just sit on your ass and just
be
watch
injured.
The money come on in.
Yeah, be injured and collect $50 million and do not pass go.
I can't even remember half of this card, to be honest.
Okay.
I know there's two cell matches, but lead the way, James.
All right. Well, we do have, and I think on paper, this looks like a tremendous match. We'll see if it ends up being. Dolph Ziggler versus Antonio Cesaro. And apparently this is going to be 2 out of 3 falls.
All right. Now we're talking.
That... Sign me up. If they give them the time that they deserve, that could be match of the night right there.
Oh, yeah. Well, it'll be the best match that's not inside the cell.
Yeah, like, sure. I mean, Dean and Seth obviously screams
yeah,
like it'll be match of the night. And with those two guys, it would probably be insane to think it won't be. But if there's two guys that are more egotistical and more hungry to try and steal the show... Give me anyone other than Cesaro and Ziggler that could produce a match that would rival it. I can't think of two guys.
No title change here, though, because Cesaro is on a historic run of losing title matches. I think I read somewhere he's lost 11 straight championship matches, so he'll probably win the first fall and Ziggler will win two straight. So Dolph Ziggler should retain, right?
I disagree. I think this will be Cesaro's moment.
This is it?
This is it.
Woohoo!
Cesaro will get the gold, and Dolph, who, just like Cesaro, just when you think they believe in Dolph, what happens?
But you could say the same thing about Cesaro.
Exactly, but Dolph is the one who's hot right now, so who's going to get their legs chopped out from under them? Dolph Ziggler!
Is Dolph really that hot, though?
Well, I mean, they're making it out like he is, although he keeps losing.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
But he has that belt, so, like, or is it the belt?
Oh, okay.
Has he actually got the real one back yet? Do we know?
He has, yeah.
All right. So, the Intercontinental title. Once a glorious title held by people like Randy Macho Man Savage, Ricky the Dragon Steamboat, and others.
Santino.
Well, that's where it kind of started to go wrong.
All right, so you got Cesaro, I got Ziggler.
Just to be different.
And right.
Yeah. Then we've got the switcheroo feud. Not everything is the same. The last pay-per-view, it was Cesaro and Sheamus, and now it's Miz and Sheamus. This match, I don't care about. Be short, be over, Sheamus wins.
Well, I'm going to disagree with you. I really think Miz wins, and I think it would be hysterical if Sandow gets the pin and then Miz takes the belt.
Why? Sandow's not in the match, right?
But they can get away with that. Isn't that what they're doing as a
match?
Oh, no. Goes in there?
So you're going to tell me that I'm supposed to believe that a WWE official thinks twin magic can happen between the Miz and Sandow?
What if they just have Sandow do the match completely?
That would be interesting. Like the whole funny thing about this feud is this feud is not getting over the two participants. It's getting over Sandow.
I'm booking. You know what? I'm going to call that right now. I don't think The Miz competes at all. I think Sandow does the match, and Sandow wins the belt, but Miz walks off with the title.
No. You know what ultimately has to happen? If that's the scenario.
Yeah.
Sandow then sticks up his middle fingers on The Miz and literally drops him and keeps the belt.
That would... See? This is how you make the match interesting. It's just Miz Sheamus, I could give two you-know-whats. But yeah. At the end of the day, I'm telling you right now, Miz or Sandow leaves with the belt. Sheamus doesn't need that damn thing. It means absolutely nothing. The only way he retains is if they start doing a Sheamus versus Rusev feud.
And I think they will. Oh, and that's, cool. Like, because that U.S. title, eventually that U.S. title is going on Rusev.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, John Cena will probably win the U.S. title, and then it'll be beneath him, so he'll just, you know, get rid of it somehow. And
makes it a spinner belt again.
Yeah, he'll bring it back, put the spinner belt on it, and give it to, like, someone he feels is deserving.
Oh, did I just talk myself out of picking Miz Dow? Like,
I
feel like, yeah, with the Rusev.
Yeah, because I think that's obviously the next program for Rusev, because he's not getting John yet.
Damn
so
it.
We need something. And I think having that U.S. title, that's the something. But we might as well talk about it since we've been plugging it somewhat. Big Show versus Rusev, I think we've clearly set this up. Rusev will win by disqualification because the Big Show will snap. Because anytime the Big Show cries, it has to be invariably followed up with the Big Show going on this rage. We've seen it for years. I don't care. Rusev wins.
You're right. Rusev will probably win by disqualification, but not because Big Show loses his cool. It's going to be because Mark Henry interferes, and we are going to get... For I think the third Survivor Series ever, a Big Show versus Mark Henry feud.
Oh yay! Yeah, I forgot about Mark Henry.
Yeah, Henry into there, buddy.
That is probably true, or like some version of that. Like
yeah,
so like Henry will get involved and shows snapping on someone. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah,
because whenever the Big Show cries, he has to snap. The next time, because, or else he might be considered a wuss.
Or he'll join John Laurinaitis.
Let's put it this way. I said this on Twitter, and I feel that I should mention it on the podcast. Andre the Giant, legend, Hall of Famer, first ever Hall of Famer, never cried once. Big Show, cried a lot. Not anything but a joke at this point.
Big boys do cry, James.
I'm big, I don't cry.
I'll step on your toe. We'll see how that happens.
Yeah, wow, you're threatening violence a lot on me during this podcast, Chris Walder. It's sharpshooter, now stepping on my foot. I don't know.
I'm not passing the wellness violation.
Our Divas title match is next. We have, what's this match?
AJ versus Paige for the... It's becoming the new Orton Cena. Of the Divas division.
It's true. I think they have now faced each other more than Lita and Trish did in their entire careers.
Well, they've done Battleground, they did SummerSlam, they did Night of Champions with Nikki, and now they're doing the fourth one.
This may be a WWE record for most consecutive matches on pay-per-view for two competitors.
It really could be.
Like, I was joking around. I knew exactly what the title match was, people. I just wanted to have some fun with it because it's been... Oh, Walder! See, I sold Walder. See, I'm a good worker.
Went right over my head.
Walder didn't even know it.
I did not.
But anyway, I think AJ retains because I still believe in the rule being in place. Because Vince McMahon made the rule, not Stephanie.
And yeah, you're right. They have to keep the belt on one of them for more than 2 months. You know what I mean? Like it's like the Intercontinental title. They just keep moving it back and forth between people. It just loses all of credibility. AJ wins. I have no clue who she faces after Paige. I don't know what life after Paige entitles.
You know where this eventually goes.
With Stephanie?
It does. clearly.
Not this early,
maybe, but, you know, maybe we get to a point where, you know, maybe somehow Stephanie gets involved in this feud.
I doubt it.
Oh, yeah. It's happening.
No.
It's happening, Walter. It's going to happen. It has to happen.
You're just so gung-ho on this damn AJ Stephanie thing.
It's the greatest match in the history of all mankind.
Oh, dear God.
Well, maybe not that. But for the Divas division, you name me a WrestleMania match that's better than that.
Rosa versus Eva Marie.
No.
Just for my pleasure and my amusement, just to see those two on the big stage would just bring so much joy to my life.
Yes, speaking of which, we move on to the Total Divas division. In fact, I'm going to separate from now on. On the podcast, we have the Women's Division and the Total Divas division.
Okay.
It's done. Total Divas division match, we have Bella versus Bella. Loser is the other one's slave. Oh, no, you can't say that in 2014. Servant,
yeah.
worker, aide, I don't know what they're exactly calling it, but basically, they become the other slave if they lose, and if they don't like that, they have to quit the WWE. This screams Nikki Bella is going to win. I think it's fairly obvious, and deservedly so, because if I have to pick a Bella, I will pick Nikki Bella, because she actually can talk a little bit, and she actually can wrestle a little bit. Brie Bella can do neither.
Exactly, and they're going to do all these stupid video segments on Raw of Brie having to do, like, these horrible tasks for Nikki. And then apparently it's leading into a Team Brie versus Team... Oh, just saying that pisses me off. They're going to do an elimination tag team match, meaning that it's going to last probably 10 minutes in Survivor Series. That is more of a screw you than anything, but, yeah, Nikki's going to beat Brie. Who cares?
Total Divas Survivor Series match. That's what we gotta look forward to, people. Forget about it. Brock's gonna be at Survivor Series.
We get Team Brie.
We're gonna get Team Nikki versus Team Brie.
Ugh.
And maybe special captains John Cena and Daniel Bryan.
James, man, you're just killing it with these stupid things that just make me want to hate WWE even more.
I'm just trying to make fun out of what isn't fun, alright?
Daniel Bryan's big return comes as the captain of Team Brie Bella.
Could you imagine?
They've been lying about his injury so that in his grand return he could come show support for his wife. No one will see that coming, Borbath.
Well, hell, that'd be the most use they've got out of Daniel Bryan since, what, May?
Oh, God, I hate WWE right now. The fact that, you know what's funny, is that that could actually happen. They might actually have Daniel Bryan come out and be in the corner of the Divas.
No, that's not happening, Walter. It was
you
a joke.
You never know.
It was a joke. Relax. Anyway.
All right, fine.
Team Nikki, Team Brie, who you got?
What, a Survivor Series?
No, I mean in this match.
Oh, I'm going with Nikki.
All right, then.
Yeah.
Moving on. Is there... Oh, yeah, we have our tag team match that just never ends. the Usos, they are paired with the other brother tag team, the Gold Dust and Stardust, or the Dust Brothers, or Star and Gold Dust. However you say that correctly, grammatically, I covered it somewhere in there. So we have a tag team match between these two, and I predict the Young Bucks will do a run-in and win the tag team titles. That's what I want to see. It's not going to happen, so I guess the Dust Brothers retain.
Yeah, just another womp womp. Like, this is the tag team division right now. It's these two teams. That's it. There's no one. There's literally no one else. Unless you count, like, Slater, Gator, or Los Wastadores, so...
No, we really don't. We don't. So, yes, Young Bucks, signed them now. They were on Cole Cabana's lovely podcast, Art of Wrestling. It was really cool. Check it out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I heard a snippet of it, but, yeah, let's hope they show up at Hell in a Cell and just make us happy on the inside.
Yes,
but,
because they are the true Indie Taker and Corporate Kane that I want to see.
What the hell?
That's their nicknames. You have never heard that?
I've never heard that.
Oh, yes. Nick Jackson is Indy Taker, and just because Matt Jackson ends up being poor corporate Kane.
Oh, he drew the short end of the stick there.
He really did. I mean, I would think with them being from California, and they had that little cartoon, he could at least be Malibu Kane or something, but no.
So, well, yeah, I have to make my pick, I guess. I guess I'm
going to flip a coin, do whatever you have to do.
Yeah, my streak of picking the Usos came to an end.
Yeah, the Usos are your nemesis.
They're my horse right now. I've been riding them to picks galore, winning.
But
them,
you don't like them, though. That's the thing.
I don't like them, but if they lose on Sunday, then Goldust and Stardust will have to find someone else to fight, and I'm all for that.
Well, who would that be?
Bray Wyatt's beard and Luke Harper's hair. Which, by the way, we should discuss. Are we going to see the Wyatt family at Hell in a Cell?
I don't know. If we do, what match are they involved in?
Well, if Cena Orton is the main event, I could easily see the Wyatt family interfering in that.
But to do what? And to feud with who?
Just make me happy, James. Why can't I be happy for what?
I'm just asking, what we've seen a lengthy feud with the Wyatts and Cena. They're not going to feud them with Orton, surely. I don't, that's what I say. I agree with you. I think the Wyatts need to be somewhere at Hell in the Cell. And we need to understand what all this has meant. But with who? I don't see where they fit in this card. Who are they out to get? Maybe Dean Ambrose?
Oh, now you're speaking my language. Bray Wyatt versus Ambrose?
That's the only one that makes sense to me.
You know what? That would be kind of a good layover feud, because I don't know how much longer they could keep doing this Rollins-Ambrose thing. And then if they want to go ahead with Orton-Rollins, then you have to take Ambrose out of the equation, put him with Wyatt. That's a good spot, I guess.
Hey. I have some ideas, let me tell you.
That's the feud right there.
There you go.
The moneymaker.
And then Kevin Steen comes out and pile drives everybody.
I gave you your Young Bucks plug. Let's stop right there. Mount Rushmore, James, and the Love Fest.
We haven't mentioned Adam Cole yet today, so.
let's make it 4 for 4, shall we?
There we go. I'll bet you, if we went back, and I don't do this deliberately, I really don't. If we went back in the podcast history, I'll bet you I have mentioned either the Young Bucks, Adam Cole, or Kevin Steen on every episode.
I like those odds. You probably have multiple times every show.
Probably.
Yeah.
So, there it is. I like Mount Rushmore. What can I say? I own a t-shirt, for God's sakes. There's not many wrestling t-shirts I own, and the people that have got me back to buying wrestling t-shirts are Kevin Steen, the Young Bucks, and Adam Cole, because I had not bought a wrestling t-shirt in ages before that.
Well, there, go spend your money on more merchandise for those guys, though it's going to be all WWE endorsed sooner than
that. That's why I'm getting it, because it'll suck once it becomes WWE stuff.
Exactly.
Let's be honest, Dean Ambrose's attire is not exactly awe-inspiring to make me want to go buy it.
That's some Goodwill stuff right there.
Yeah, the old D-Anarchy thing is not doing it for me.
Who do we like in that cell match, though, with Ambrose and Rollins? That's a tricky one to pick.
It is tricky because Dean is so hot right now, but if what I'm saying is true, it's obvious Rollins wins. But, on the other hand, what if the opposite happens and the run-in is Randall Orton and he takes out Seth Rollins? And that actually sounds much more in line with what the storyline has been doing.
How do you even do a run-in during a cell match? That defeats the whole
purpose. But that's the point. That's the point, because it's a cell match. No one expects a run-in, so we're going to get a run-in.
You're just going to sneak through that little tiny crevice in the cell.
You see, you've got to understand WWE's logic. Their logic is, what's illogical is logical.
Yeah.
So, logic dictates, it's a Hell in the Cell match. No one else can get involved. So, someone else is getting involved.
And with the way that Raw finished with Rollins curb-stomping Orton, you have to think that either Rollins is interfering in Orton Cena or Orton is interfering in Rollins Ambrose.
Absolutely. I mean, these two kids are destined to have a feud, and Triple H's whole authority is going to come crumbling down. And then, what will be the final blow is on Monday Night Raw. Kane will come to the ring and say, "I retire. I quit." You see,
I love you, Kane, but dear God, man.
You broke the podcast with that woohoo, by the way.
Good. My woohoos, man, they bring the house down.
Yeah, anyway, so now, have we picked everything or no?
Besides Cena Orton.
Yeah, we have not done Cena Orton. I am, injury status pending, I am taking Randy Orton.
As am I. They would like us to think that the winner gets Lesnar, but it's looking more and more like he won't even be there anyway. And I really like the idea of Orton facing Lesnar, because right now he's kind of hit that point where he's not a heel, but he's not a face either. Like, the fans are digging him. So, and Royal Rumble, you can get away with anything as a title match on that show, because it's a one-match pay-per-view, essentially. You had Hardcore Holly facing Lesnar once, you know what I mean? So who really cares?
Wow.
So Orton versus Lesnar at Royal Rumble, Orton goes over. Don't be surprised if you see the Wyatts or Seth Rollins interfere in this thing.
You're not supposed to remember that.
Hardcore Holly in the main event?
No!
Well,
never.
I did anyway, damn it. WWE Network, $9.99.
There you go. So that was your Hell in the Cell pay-per-view from what we know of it.
What a load of crap.
Wow.
I am. Thank God for Ambrose Rollins. That's all I'm going to say.
What?
Thank God for that. And then, Cesaro Ziggler might. Make me grin, but that's about it.
In all honesty, on paper, as a wrestling show, take angles out of it, it looks like it'll be a good show.
This is a glorified Raw. This is all it is.
No, but wrestling-wise, like
yeah, well, whatever. Like,
the matches in-ring should be good.
Sure, let's go with that.
Like, but the thing that's lacking is the investment, the storyline, all of that. That's not
half of the
hitting.
Equation.
Yeah, and that's my point. Like, if you're just out to see good wrestling matches, the only match I think that possibly could suck on this card is
Miz Sheamus, right?
No, not necessarily. I was thinking more Rusev Big Show. Rusev Big Show could be really bad.
It could be, yeah.
Like, I think Miz Sheamus, I'm not saying it'll be a 5-star classic. It won't be, but I don't think it'll be bad. Only because Sheamus is so stiff, that alone, just watching The Miz getting beaten up will be somewhat entertaining.
Well, have fun with that, James.
I do. I enjoy watching The Miz getting beaten up.
He's a Marine. He's tough as nails.
He's a Marine, damn it! And nobody cares.
I don't care about Hell in a Cell.
Yeah, it's one of those things. But basketball season will be here, Chris Walder. Before you know it, in fact, the Raptors will have already started by our next podcast.
Next Wednesday, me and my girl are going down to the game.
Oh, going to the big home opener, are you?
ACC, baby.
All right.
No work for this guy, no media stuff. I'm just going there as a fan.
Oh, you're not allowed to do that.
What? You can't go as a fan?
No. I spent 6 years covering the Raptors. You can't be a fan. That's wrong.
I can't for one night anyway.
That's cheating.
Yeah, well.
Anyway, so.
What do you do? I'm
NBA
on that Bargnani money, man.
NBA season. We're going to try and get Matt David on here before Final Battle. So he will have NBA opinions. But in lieu of Matt David, you being basketball expert, do you want to make NBA Finals predictions while we're on here just for our own self-amusement? And if our wrestling fans don't like it, well, you can turn off now because there's no more wrestling talk.
Well, sure. You want to go first?
I'll go Cleveland and Oklahoma City's looking rough, but they'll get it together somehow. Oklahoma City.
The streak comes to an end. The Clippers over the Cavaliers.
Wow. That's...
There you go. I would take the Spurs. I think the Spurs are the best team in the league, but they never repeat as champions.
See, you don't realize this.
What?
But you've led into me talking about the Young Bucks again, because Nick Jackson is a huge Clippers fan.
Is he now?
He will love that.
He'll love that pick. He loves it, baby.
Yeah, the Clippers. That's his team.
I'm going all in with L.A. Blake Griffin, Chris Paul, the gang. Doc Rivers, it's their time.
Wow, that is a ballsy pick.
10 years ago, that would have been an awful finals. Just imagine the Clippers and the Cavaliers in the NBA Finals.
That would be like Zack Ryder main eventing against who? We'll ponder that. We'll come up with an answer for next week. But hopefully Hell in the Cell is much more enjoyable than Chris Wilder makes it seem like it will be. I think it will actually be a decent show. Chris Wilder, he's just not caring about this show.
Don't care, damn it. Make me care, Vince. Hunter, whoever's calling the shots, make me care.
Apparently, yeah. They don't care if you care.
And get off my TV, Kane.
Yeah. Wow. Just very
mean-spirited. I'm in a bad mood. My back hurts. I can barely breathe. I got out of bed and I pulled my damn back. And I'm blaming Kane. And I'm blaming WWE because I've been carrying this burden of having to watch their crap for so long that it's starting to give me physical pain. And anytime I stub a toe, anytime I hurt my knee, pull my back, it's their fault. So there you go.
Hashtag pray for Wilder.
Pray for Wilder. Send your donations too.
Yeah. Yeah, hashtag pray for Wilder. And in all seriousness, the last couple weeks, we've actually got a little bit of support from Reddit with the podcast, and people are liking it and digging it. So if you're some of those people, we thank you. Hopefully more of you are out there listening. And hopefully Wilder, with his just bitterness towards Hell in the Cell, has not ruined our momentum here that we are building. So
I'm the opposite of John Bradshaw Layfield. Like, there is nothing you can do to make me happy. You can throw a little person in a gator costume and JBL will have an orgasm. I'm the complete opposite of that, so sorry.
JBL is just, we don't have time. There's just not enough time. WWE commentary, it's lacking. And it will be lacking at Hell in the Cell, but hopefully the match quality will not. And with that said, enjoy Hell in the Cell, or try to. And remember, all this wrestling stuff, it's supposed to be fun, Chris Wilder. Real life is the stuff that's supposed to get you this upset.
Thank God for basketball. That's all I'm going
to
say.
Yeah. If the Raptors get on a losing streak to start the season, I don't even want to talk to you.
0-3? Kane!
And on that happy note, we bid you a fond farewell, and we will talk to you next week, the same bat time and same bat channel. Or maybe the same box time, same box channel.
The cream of the crop. Nobody does it better.
More questions.
I'm sorry about that.
Goodbye.